Greetings. Welcome to the Bolsa Mexicana de Valores SAB de CV second quarter 2026 earnings conference call. This time, all participants are in listen-only mode. Question and answer session will follow today's formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. Please note that this conference is being recorded. At this time, I'll now turn the conference over to Hannah Rivas, Investor Relations Officer. Thank you, Hannah. You may now begin.
Good morning, and thank you for joining today's call. Today marks an important point in our year as we close out the first half of 2026. Yesterday afternoon, we announced our results for the second quarter, and today we are pleased to walk you through them. Joining today, we have with us Jorge Alegría, our Chief Executive Officer, Luis René Ramón, Chief Financial Officer, Roberto González, Chief of Trade Officer, Claudio Vivian, Chief Information Officer, Gabriel Rodríguez, Chief ICAP CEO, Alfredo Guillén, Managing Director of Equity Markets, José Miguel de Dios, Managing Director of Derivative Markets, Juan Manuel Olivo, Director of Capital Formation, and myself, Hannah, Investor Relations Officer. Following the opening remarks, we will have a question and answer session. Our forward-looking legal disclosure can be found in the AR material presented today and distributed afterwards. This morning, we will cover our key operational and financial highlights, along with the progress we have made in executing our strategic priorities. With that, I will now turn the call over to our CEO, Jorge Alegría.
Thank you, Hannah. Good morning, everyone. Before we begin, I'm pleased to be joined, as Hannah mentioned, by our recently appointed CFO, Luis René Ramón, whose leadership will be instrumental in shaping our evolution journey and driving value across all the organization. So welcome, Luis René, once again. Good luck. And let me turn now to our performance. So BMV Group has once again delivered strong operating results for the second quarter of 2026. This is mainly driven by market dynamics and geopolitical events. Capital formation activity was strong during the quarter, highlighting the continued role of markets as an effective funding alternative for issuers. We welcome three new names on BMV, Banco Sabadell, Park Life, and Credisal. Sabadell, with a 4 billion peso bond issuance, which was more than two times oversubscribed. Park Life opened the door for a new FIBRA or REIT segment focused on residential rental housing. And finally, our program From Zero to Bolsa delivered results this quarter with Credisal's 250 million peso debt offering, demonstrating our ability to broaden market access for small issuers as well. Together, these transactions show our commitment to facilitating funding for existing and new companies and issuers, as well as expanding opportunities for companies of all sizes. Our IPO pipeline remains active, with four confidential companies in process, and several of which we expect to list by year-end. Let me turn now to trading. And in the equity market segment, we saw both local and global momentum, with average daily trading value about 21.5 billion pesos in BNB, up more than 20% from 2025, and among the highest level in recent years. Our equity market share increased from 78% in Q1 to 82% in Q2, reflecting our continued focus on delivering outstanding client services and added functionalities. On the clearing side, activity at the central counterparty for equity reached also 26 billion in ADTV, which is a growth of 70% year over year. As for bond clearing, we continue to make solid progress in participant onboarding. We currently have 9 financial institutions fully on board, with an additional 7 in the process of joining in the following months. Growth was equally evident in the derivatives market. particularly in dollar peso futures, where our activity grew 26% compared with the second quarter of 2025, supported by peso appreciation and rollover activity. I'm glad to announce that we have relaunched our M Bono, our bond future contract, with an improved design that more closely reflects the underlying government bond market. By linking each contract to a specific bond and incorporating a physical settlement, we provide market participants with a more efficient hedging tool. It is going to provide greater trading efficiency and better alignment between futures and cash market pricing. To support market adoption, we will be executing a full commercial and marketing campaign over the next several months, locally and internationally. In derivatives clearing, margin deposits rose to 42.5 billion pesos due to the higher open interest, which, together with higher trading volumes, drove also a positive quarter at Asigna. In the OTC market, C5CAP's good results are worth mentioning. The strong activity reflects favorable dynamics in both Mexico and in Chile, as well as a greater participation from our clients during the period. Both markets gained momentum toward the end of the quarter, culminating in a particularly strong June. Moving to post-trade, in the CSD, the Central Securities Depository, or Indeval, the numbers speak for themselves. Custody balances closed the quarter at 48 trillion pesos, up 13% year over year, and driven primarily by pension funds, pension managers, and equity accounted assets. What stands out even more is the performance of the global market, or the SIC, even amid a stronger peso. The SIC delivered outstanding results, highlighting the demand for global diversification in the Mexican market. In market data, we continue to consolidate our Global Access Network initiative. This is a co-location solution that allows clients to transition from a traditional on-site service to a fully virtual one. Faster, simpler, and more flexible, we have already clients connected and additional pipeline in the testing phase as well. This offering is supported by two complementary revenue streams, market data and cross-connect, which together reflects growing market adoption. We have also introduced our enterprise license agreement, expanding the ways clients can access, distribute, and leverage our market data solutions. Overall, this quarter operating performance was broad-based and strong across multiple lines. I will now turn back to to Luis René and go over the financial results.
Thank you, Jorge, and good morning, everyone. I'm excited to take on these new roles and build on the strong foundation already in place as we continue to execute our strategic priorities and create value for all the stakeholders. Turning to our financial results, as Jorge mentioned, it was a strong quarter, even with non-favorable exchange rates. Revenues grew 91 million, or 8% in the quarter, with all businesses contributing positively. On operational expenses, we saw a 13% increase, reflecting a period of strategic investment, as we said it would. Cost discipline remains a core commitment. We continue to hold ourselves to rigorous efficiency standards, ensuring that every peso spent is deliberate, accountable, and aligned with value creation. The tax rate increased this quarter from 31 to 31.6%, mainly due to the impact of a reversal of provisions related to previous years. Earnings per share were 74 cents, up 3% in the quarter when compared year over year. If we move to the next slide, looking at the first half of 2026, our operating income was 52 million pesos, up 4%. EBITDA was registered at 1.3 billion pesos, up 5%, while the EBITDA margin was recorded at 56%. On a constant currency basis, EBITDA would have been 71 million pesos higher, or 13% above last year's number. As a reminder, roughly 30% of our revenue and cost base is dollar denominated, leading us with a net long U.S. dollar exposure. As a result, stronger peso created a headwind to our operating results. Nonetheless, we reported a strong quarter. On a different note, financial income was 37 million pesos lower year over year, primarily driven by lower returns on our cash investments following the 150 basis points decline in the central bank reference rate over the past year. Banxico's reference rate currently stands at 6.5%. Despite this offset, our earnings per share were 1.53 peso per share, up 2.3% year over year. Turning to the next slide, our top line performance reflects strong operational momentum discussed earlier in the call. Transaction-based businesses led by equity derivatives and OTC trading and clearing were the primary growth drivers this quarter. Subscription revenues also remained solid. However, reported growth was partially impacted by a weaker dollar. As a result, total revenue increased by 8% for both the quarter and the first 6 months of the year. I would like now to take a closer look into personal and technology expenses, two key enablers of our evolution strategy and future growth. On the personal front, we have completed the most of our key hires required to support our initiatives, meaning that the most intensive phase of recruitment is largely behind us. The running costs for the remaining of the year should be similar to Q2 numbers. On the technology front, we remain focused on executing our digital evolution program. While this phase requires continued investment in managed services, in hardware and software, in cloud, we are applying a serial-based budgeting discipline to optimize our technology cost base. This approach will enable us to right-size our IT footprint, manage costs efficiently, and capture efficiencies as legacy platforms and infrastructure will progressively be decommissioned in 2027 and 2028. So that was the P&L. Now moving on to cash and capital allocation headlines. Capital intensity remains in line with our guidance as we continue to invest in our business at a rate more than twice that of our emerging market peers. We have invested 120 million pesos in the first half of the year, and an additional 250 million pesos has already been committed to contracts that will be paid on the third and fourth quarters. So in total, 370 million pesos compared to our full year budget of 500 million pesos. The lower spending recorded so far reflects the timing of payments, but not any change to our investment plans. Furthermore, during the period, we returned significant value to our shareholders through a dividend of 2.05 pesos per share, representing a 70% payout, combined with 160 million pesos in share buybacks, for a total shareholder distribution of 81% of last year's net income. We will continue to closely monitor trading activity valuation levers in our stock while maintaining a disciplined and balanced approach to capital allocation. As reflected in our cash flows, we monetized on our remaining stake in Nuam. We completed a full exit from this investment. This allows us to sharpen our focus on the Mexican market, concentrate our resources on opportunities that we see across our domestic business. In summary, we're generating free cash flow, growing our business strongly, and investing in future growth. I will now hand over the call to Jorge to take you through the strategic progress.
Thank you again, Luis René. So, as we conclude today's call, I would like to emphasize that the results achieved this quarter reflect the resilience of our business and our ability to execute consistently across all business segments. These results reinforce our confidence in the strategic direction we have set and, of course, in our long-term growth opportunity. At Grupo BMV, our purpose is clear: to integrate markets, technology, and data to fuel the future of the Mexican financial markets. This vision continues to shape our actions as we strengthen market access, enhance our infrastructure, expand our data capabilities, and create value for clients, investors, and all market participants. To deliver on this vision, we are advancing on our most ambitious transformation initiative yet, the Digital Evolution Program, which is being designed to modernize how our markets operate and generate long-term value for stakeholders. At its core is the migration of our current model to a unified platform that will improve operational efficiency, increase processing capacity, business continuity, and support for future growth with new products and new services. It is built around a holistic view of the financial ecosystem, connecting trading, clearing, settlement, and risk management through a seamless end-to-end framework. Let me turn to execution now. The first release wave will focus on the derivatives market,
with the implementation of a cloud-based trading platform by bringing together MexDer operations, assignment clearing, market surveillance, and a next generation of data intelligence within a single technology environment. We are creating a modern and scalable foundation for future innovation. This initiative is expected to boost connectivity, expand product capabilities, introduce new trading functionalities, and deliver meaningful operational efficiencies. Market participants will gain access to a broader set of execution tools, including all-of-kind and advanced order types of average price, all or none, other conditional orders, etc. So in addition, the platform will enable the introduction of new products as well, including daily and weekly expiring options and a wider range of currency hedging solutions. The derivatives platform will also deliver faster execution and market safeguards, including automated volatility controls designed to protect participants during periods of significant price movements. And on the clearing side, a more efficient margin methodology will reduce collateral requirements on clear positions, freeing up capital and strengthening to overall value proposition for institutional participants through a stronger risk infrastructure and more efficient capital allocation. We expect these advancements to support revenue growth beginning the second quarter of next year. Our objective is not only to improve incremental revenue. We are designing this initiative to create a foundation for a business that can materially increase in size in the medium term. Progress remains on track to go live in Q1 2027, as I mentioned. Technical testing will begin in June, and actually they begun in June. And functional testing with participants will start next September. And the program will gradually advance from isolated trials to full end-to-end validation. So this was the first wave. The second wave will focus on integrating repo clearing into the central counterparty of fixed income clearing platform in operation today. We see strong demand for this service as it delivers meaningful capital efficiencies to all market participants. Through central clearing, firms can net exposures across the portfolio, significantly reducing capital requirements while enhancing liquidity and the efficiency across the market. This project is expected to generate revenues in the second half of 2027. And now the third wave will focus on the evolution of our CSD, Indeval, and equity CCP platforms, creating the capacity to support continued growth assets under custody, higher settlement volumes, and the increasing momentum we are seeing across our global market. This transformation will also provide the foundation for new value-added services in post-trade, such as securities lending, while enabling the adoption of emerging technologies, including digital assets. So with all this, thank you very much for your continued trust and your support. With these solid fundamentals and clear strategic priorities, we believe Grupo BMV is well positioned to continue creating value. Thank you very much. And with that, I will now hand the call over again to Hannah Rivas for the Q&A section. Thank you, Hannah.
Thank you, Jorge. We will now open the line for questions. Rob, please go ahead.
Thank you. We'll now be conducting the question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad, and a confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you'd like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please, for our first question. Thank you. And our first question is from the line of Ernesto Gabilondo with Bank of America. Please proceed with your questions.
Thank you. Hi, good morning, Jorge, Luis René, and Hannah, and good morning to all your team. Thanks for the opportunity to ask questions. And Luis René, congrats on your official appointment, and I wish you a lot of success. My first question is on the new strategic initiatives and also the new market bill related to hedge funds. When should we start to see revenue contribution related to the new investments? I know that you mentioned that it's not only about revenues, it's just scaling up and for the long term. But have you estimated any additional revenue that we can see in the coming years? I like the details on your presentation of the digital evolution progress. And you mentioned that in the first wave on derivatives, we should expect revenue growth from second quarter 2027. But how much could be this translated in terms of the growth for this segment? And also you provide also some additional details for the wave two that you are expecting to start in the second half of 2027 and the third wave now that you are expecting to be in progress for 2028. So any details, any color on how should we think about it, of how much additional revenues can we see in the future will be very helpful. And also, again, if you can comment a little bit on any update of the market bid related to hedge funds. So that's my first question. I know it was a long question, but it's kind of related. And my second question is on the pipeline of new listings. We have been seeing new listings, follow-ons, but I believe Banamex has a plan to IPO, so just wanted to see if there has been initial contacts with you, any color of a potential timeline on this, and given the size, I think it could be very positive for your revenues. And my last question is on OPEX and EBITDA margin. Given all these initiatives, when do you expect OPEX to start declining? You mentioned the wave three, that you will be still doing something in 2028. So just wanted to understand, when should we start to see the EBITDA margin stabilizing from probably a little bit more higher revenue, but also lower OPEX? And I understand that you will be operating with dual systems, dual technologies, so at some point you will need to shut it down, and that will help you also to normalize the OPEX growth after the investment phase. So also any color on when should we start to see EBITDA margin expanding again, and when should we see OPEX grow in the future will be very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Ernesto, for this very important three questions. Let me try to handle the first one on the hedge funds. Then I will pass the word back to Luis on to talk about the expected revenues or whatever. Juan Olivo to talk about the IPO pipeline, and Roberto to talk about what we are expecting to see on the 2027 release on the post-trade side, on the repo facility, and back to Luis René on the OPEC and CAPEX. So on the hedge funds, we are working closely with AMIB, the Mexican Brokers Association, and with the Secretary of the Treasury, the Hacienda. We have an agenda of several important projects, and one of them is this one. So currently, the secondary ruling is still being worked by the Mexican Securities and Banking Commission. I think they have very clear the importance of this new breed of market participants in the Mexican market. The chairman of the Mexican Securities Commission himself was a key player during writing these reforms 2 years ago, so he's very well aware of trying to put this as soon as possible. So there's a task force between the industry, the exchange, and the Treasury pushing this forward. I don't see this happening this year, but certainly the target is to start maybe by the end of the year to have the secondary ruled out and start seeing some activity next year for the hedge funds. Let me pass over to Luis.
Thank you, Ernesto. On the strategic initiative, we mentioned the three different waves that we have. The first one happening at the beginning of 2027 on Mixer and Asigna on derivatives. We will have so much flexibility with the new platform. Let me give you an example. Today we have quarterly options, and with this new technology, we will be able to list weekly options or even same-day options. So this opens the door to more traders, to more strategies on trading, to more hedging opportunities. and this should translate into more revenues in MexDer and Asigna as well. On the Asigna side, we will be able to have more efficient collateral management. So all in all, we're going to be more faster from a technology point of view in getting products to the market, and this should translate into numbers. As you know, MexDer and Asigna together, we invoice about 250 million pesos per year. This should significantly increase in the coming years. On the second wave on the bonds, on bond and repo clearing, you know, the value traded on bonds is 5 times what we have on equity, and the repo is close to 100 times. So, of course, fees are going to be much smaller. But what we're expecting for that business in the medium term, CCB today, we invoice 250 million. CCB should be in the medium term at least twice the size once we have everything in place. So we're seeing all this investment that we're transforming and growing our business should translate in 27, 28, all the way to 2030. The third wave, the CSD is still too early. We're implementing the business, and we should have it up and running by 2028. Let me transfer the call to Juan to talk about hedge funds.
Thank you. To talk about new listings and capital formation. Yeah. Thanks, Ernesto, for your question. This is Juan Manuel Olivo. Let me elaborate on the pipeline that we are foreseeing for the next month. First of all, on equity side, we have 4 confidential listing processes. We do not have any kind of specific moment where it will be on the market, but we are supporting those processes. And also, in the pipeline for the next 3 months, focus on the fixed income business, because as you know, this is the most relevant in terms of capital formation. We have a pipeline of 50,000 million Mexican pesos that it will be in the same trend that the first 6 months that we have in this 2026.
Roberto, on repo.
Well, I think on repos, as you know, it's a new service that we will start providing. Today, we do not provide central clearing, so the intention is to start by May next year. And the relevant part of this is that the largest banks will have a relevant reduction in cost of capital. So there's a lot of interest, particularly in the repos, and elaborating on what Luis René mentioned. It's the largest by far market that we clear at Indeval. So today, all of these transactions are settled bilateral at Indeval. We will expect that while it might not be mandatory, the experience that we've seen in other markets is at least 30% of the repo market goes to the central clearing. So we would expect new additional revenues. The service is totally new, different, with relevant reductions for the largest participants, and also we expect that we have seen interest from the pension funds to also take advantage of this new solution, and we will expect also to see electronic trading platforms coming to the market, what will allow us also to get more participants from international markets. So I think that's a little bit of more color on what we would expect on the repo clearing.
Just to finalize, Ernesto, on the repo clearing service, the difference to what we have today, that we offer cash settlement for M bonos, that is slowly growing, but it's not. The adoption has been slow. The difference with the repo business is that there's the capital allocation, the capital cost for banks is much higher when keeping the transaction bilateral when they move to a CCP service like the one we are going to provide. I mean, it's dramatically lower, and Roberto mentioned the size of the market moving to central clearing, and we have the experience of markets like the U.S. or Europe, which is highly appreciated the use of a central counterparty for repo clearing. So we expect this to have a much faster adoption rate next year. Hope this helps to clarify your question.
No, super, super helpful. And just last question in terms of how you're seeing the EBITDA margin evolution and OPEX growth in the future.
The important one.
Yeah. Sure, Ernesto. On that one, we made some strategic additions to our team. We had to strengthen our cloud operations, marketing, or data, business continuity, cybersecurity. But we've reached a level that will support our business in the future, our digital evolution program. So you should expect that personal expenses to remain at the Q2 numbers that we reported last night. On the technology front, that number should continue increasing, but single digit. We still have to make some investment to support this huge program. But we're committed to have an attractive margin. You know that we run a tight ship. And as soon as we start finishing the implementation of the first wave, we will, and the second wave, you will start seeing how we are disposing some of the hardware that we no longer need. So I would say that our margins right now are at 55% in the quarter, 56% for the year. I think those are attractive margins, and we'll make our best to keep them at that level.
Personal, thank you very much, Jorge, Luis René, Juan Manuel, and Roberto. Very helpful.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Carlos Gomez-Lopez with HSBC. Please proceed with your question.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, yes, Carlos.
Gentlemen, we've lost Carlos's line. Our next question will be coming from the line of Daniel Miranda with Santander. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good morning. Jorge, Luis René, congrats. Thanks for taking my question. One very quick one from my side on the FX headwinds we've seen and probably will continue to see in the coming quarters. How should we think about the sensitivity of a peso appreciation or depreciation going forward? And beyond the transactional FX impact, are there any initiatives under consideration to reduce this sensitivity to FX? Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel, for the question. As you know, our top line and our expenses are roughly 30% in dollars. On that line, around every peso that depreciates hits are around 50 to 60 million pesos for EBITDA margin, or EBITDA, sorry, and then it translates into the EBITDA margin. That would be on the operational side. Then on the dollar position that we have on the treasury, what we've done is that we have enough dollars to cover our liabilities and our obligations, and any remaining balance, then we go to the market and we sell them. So that limits the volatility that you see on that line. But yeah, right now we depend on the market movement. You know, of that 30%, 50% is interval in dollars, and then the remaining is on the market data. So you see a strong growth on the trading side, but then on the subscription business, we're also seeing a growth, but it's a bit offset by this exchange rate fluctuation.
Thank you. Very clear.
Our next question is from the line of Arnon Shirazi with Citi. Let's just see if there are questions.
Hi, all. Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity of making questions. I want to dive in and explore better CapEx for the rest of the year and for the next years. I remember in the beginning of this year, you mentioned $500 million in capital expenditure for 26. So far, if I'm not wrong, year to date, we are talking about $120 million. So should we see a strong catch up in the second semester of this year? What the current expectations for 2027 onwards? Thank you.
Yes, we had a $120 million CapEx reported, and then we have an extra 250 million, which is already committed for the third and fourth quarter. So that would bring our CapEx to around 370 million of the 500 million budget that we have. Of course, we have more initiatives happening in the second part of the year, and we still are considering the initial budget that we disclosed at the beginning of the year. As for the next years, 27, 28, I think this is the top. We need maintenance capex, and then we will need more transformational capex. I would say that around 100 million is for maintenance capex, and then an extra 150 or 200 should be for transformation or for growth. So all in all, what you should expect is this year should be close to 500, and then 27 and 28 should be closer to 300 million plus in capex.
Great, thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Diego Marquez with JP Morgan. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good morning, everyone. If I could just a quick question on top line. We saw a slight acceleration versus last quarter, so just to get a sense of what you guys are expecting for the full year, do you expect these high single-digit growth that we're seeing now or any changes there? Thank you. Can you hear me?
Thank you, Leon. Yes, thank you, Leon. On our top line, yeah, we saw a strong quarter on all the trading businesses in equity and derivatives, in fixed income, in the OTC market. Our ADTV was above 21 billion every single day, and that's for BNB, and then for the whole market is a bit above 26 billion. So we're seeing a strong activity in the market. Of course, the summer months are ahead. That should soften a bit. But we're seeing good activity in the markets. We're seeing a lot of hedging, especially in dollar futures. And the same is happening on the fixed income. Hard to predict the future, but so far we've seen good support. And then, as you know, the strength in these businesses moves along our other business lines. So any trend that you see on trading, then you see it on clearing as well as on settlement and then on data at the end. So, yeah, 8% top-line growth so far. We believe it could stay in the high single digits or maybe even low double digits.
All very clear. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Carlos Gomez, HSBC. Please proceed with your questions.
Hello, and my apologies, my line dropped earlier. So first of all, congratulations to Liz. Good luck in your new role, and I'm sure you will do very well. It's a big challenge. On the questions, so you have clarified the CapEx will be still 500 million for this year. So you will give us more details later. You have 370 in the explanation there. And then you said 250 for the next couple of years. I just wanted to confirm those numbers, those rough numbers. We understand you will have to adjust them later. Then taking a step back, I mean, you have had 8% revenue growth, about 13% OPEX growth, which is why your earnings ultimately increased only 2% for the year, for the first half. For the year as a whole, I understand you see similar things. And again, we understand that you're in the process of investing and changing and hiring people. That's what you should be doing. Should we expect that next year is still a year of investment? Should we still expect low single-digit earnings growth as you continue to prepare for future growth in coming years? Or should we see, you know, an expansion of EBITDA margin, therefore more EBS growth in 2027. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. Yeah, on the first part on the CapEx, you're right. For the next years, we're expecting 250 to 300 million pesos on CapEx, and that's both maintenance, growth, and transformation CapEx. For this year, we're still in line with 500. However, it could be a bit short of that because of FX. As you know, many of our contracts are in dollars. So it could have a small variation from that number. But we already have 370 committed, and we still have some things on the pipeline. On financials, 8% top line, 13% on our expenses. Last year and this year, they are investment years, transformation years to set the base for the growth that we're expecting towards 2030. What you should expect next year is that two of the waves will finish, and we will be in a position to start monetizing on those initiatives. So this should support our top line. On the cost, as I mentioned during the call, we're going to run a tight ship. We're going to have a zero-based budget on software, on managed services, which will keep in track our costs as we continue executing on the wave three. So I would say next year you will see a small expansion, but again, we're still in the investment phase, and this evolution will take a couple of years. So two waves will be up and running next year, and then the third wave in 2028.
If I can follow up on the expenses and what you expect in the coming years, I'm surprised we haven't mentioned AI yet. Are you having to increase your technology budget because of AI implementation? Do you have to pay more for services that perhaps you were not using in the past? Thank you.
No. Right now we have a small innovation lab where we're testing some AI, especially on looking at the markets and on education, and we're also having some testing on the different businesses. But now the technology expense, what you should expect is the journey to the cloud. So as we move from hardware to the cloud, you will see this change from CapEx to OpEx. And that will be mainly it. Of course, we're investing on building capacities on FinOps, so we're able to keep those costs under control.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carlos.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our question and answer session, and we'll also conclude today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect your lines at this time, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much. To talk to you all next quarter.